In your binder behind Executive Committee, you'll find the Executive Committee's draft straw man for management priorities. The Executive Committee met in August. They reviewed all the FMP requirements coming up for 2012 that are currently in our FMPs, reviewed old priorities, and discussed new initiatives. And I'll go through the straw man. Under groundfish, the Executive Committee recommends continuing with Amendment 18. Number two, coordinate action on the habitat omnibus amendment to include possible modifications to the groundfish closed areas. And three, prepare framework action to adjust sector rules based on lessons learned from our October sector workshop. There's also a fourth one that has come to light that you should we should talk about today, and that's that Framework 47 had updated science for 11 stocks. There are 20 stocks in our groundfish plan, so we're going to get updates on 9 additional stocks later this fall or in the winter. And so in 2012, we should take action to adjust the specs for those 9 stocks. So that would be a framework to adjust 9 stocks with new update assessments. So those are 4 very considerable priorities. Perhaps one should fall out, or at least you should prioritize for the Groundfish Committee and staff to look at those 4 priorities for 2012. Under monkfish, Executive Committee recommends continuing Monkfish Amendment 6 for catch shares. Whiting, continue the Whiting Amendment to set ACLs and AMs. That should be completed and sent off by March of 2012, so it's basically a 3-month action. Scallops, prepare Framework 24 to set new spec packages, ACLs, et cetera, for 2013 and 14, and continue Amendment 16, which the Council voted on to develop IFQs and scallops. Habitat, continue the Omnibus Habitat Amendment. Herring, continue Amendment 5 to include monitoring mackerel, river herring bycatch, criteria for closed areas and protection of spawning. That should be completed by March, again, 3 months into the 2012. And then prepare a spec package with a follow-on to a new stock assessment on herring, new specs, catch limits for 2013, 14, and 15. Ecosystem management, again, it's implement the first phase, which is prepare an ecosystem plan. Phase one to establish goals and objectives and ecosystem production units. I'll just delete that 3 in Gulf of Maine, Georges Bank, Southern New England, and basically say phase one to establish goals and objectives and ecosystem production units. SBRM, note from the discussion we had this morning with Gene, we probably will have to, unless the service can do it on their own, we'll probably have to engage with an amendment to address SBRM recent lawsuit. And then continue with our RSC activities, pending funding, the SSC activities, and enforcement safety and vessel monitoring committee as well. Now, there are other things the council, the executive committee looked at, and they're under the line for potential consideration by the full council. Under interspecies, develop a strategy, goals, and objectives for improving monitoring across all FMPs. All these items below the line, if the council decides to put them above the line in November and vote them in, then something naturally would have to fall out. Also, potential action to address recommendations for SBRM. I addressed that. Prepare amendment to respond to NRCC Working Group recommendations for vessel upgrades and replacements. Under groundfish, review 10% quota rollover provision in response to the RA letter of June 20th, 2011. As you recall, that the certain congressional interests have petitioned the service to increase the rollover over the current 10% in groundfish. So, if this remains below the line, we should send a letter to the service so that they can respond to the congressional interests. Potential action to address groundfish sector monitoring requirements, which may result from the current Oceana lawsuit on monitoring, but we haven't heard anything further on that, have we, Gene? Any monitoring lawsuit from Oceana? No. Prepare framework to establish limited access general category ACLs and AMs for yellowtail underground fish FMP. That would need to be coordinated with the Scallop Committee and PDT. Recreational issues. We were expecting, I think back in May or June, new recreational data. Not MRF's data, but the new MRIP system. And the council may want to react to that new recreational catch estimates. However, we have not received that data, and we're already going forward with Framework 47 and also looking at a fourth priority, and we still don't have those recreational numbers. So, the recommendation it's below the line that if we get those recreational numbers in now, it's basically too late, and at some point we may have to address if they're far different than what was estimated in Amendment 16. Potential framework to update additional specs not included in Framework 47. That's what I talked about. The Science Center has agreed to do 9 additional stocks, so we should have to develop a framework to address those 9 additional stocks. Hagfish, prepare a new hagfish FMP. That's been below the line for some years. Nevertheless, it needs to be done. Whiting, prepare amendment for limited entry, again, on the list below the line, and nevertheless, it remains a priority, needs to be done. And scallops, coordinate action with groundfish committee to establish limited access ACLs, AMs, in coordination with groundfish committee. Now, as we look forward to 2013, our FMPs require spec setting in groundfish, spec setting in monkfish, spec setting in skates, and spec setting in red crab. So they will be required as we look forward to 2013. So the hope, we used to do priorities like this in one meeting, and it was suggested by the executive committee that we do it over two, so we'd be better prepared to vote once instead of voting often, as we've done in the past with priorities. So the idea of this today is to brainstorm, look at what the executive committee recommended, make some motions if you want to add some additional considerations for the full council to look at. No motions today, what's above and below the line, just comments and brainstorming on what's below the line, but motions on if you want to add something for the full council to consider in November for the final vote.
Jim.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the groundfish priorities first. I think that the order of priority in the group, considering that we've added number 4 that Paul just kind of described that we'll be required to do, that we almost flip the order, that 4B1, 3B2, 2B3, and 1B4. And the reason I say line it up like that is because, number one, we're going to get 9 stocks that we're going to have to implement the specs on sometime during this year. So that's a requirement. We don't have a choice in that. The number 3, which will be number 2, is to prepare the framework action to adjust sector rules based on the lessons learned workshop we're going to have next month. I think it's going to be very important to make sure that that gets in effect as soon as possible, because we know that there's we assume there's some things that are going to be needed to be corrected in the sector framework that we're operating under to make it better, and we need to do that as soon as possible. So that should be the second priority. We want to get that stuff done. We want to get it implemented as soon as possible. And then the habitat and groundfish closed area issue has been ongoing, and if we don't get moving on that, we're not going to get habitat done. So that should be the priority. And then number 1 should be number 4, and we'll continue to work on that. It's going to take longer to do that than any of the others, no matter how we prioritize it. And I submit again that the adjustments to sector rules are going to hopefully will get us more make that system work better and hopefully land more fish, and that's an immediate help, and that helps the infrastructure and it helps the diversity by landing more fish. One other comment is that this council passed a motion a few council meetings ago to look at the reasons we're not reaching OI in under the multi-species plan. For many years now, we haven't come close to reaching OI. And the motion was to investigate those reasons and come up with recommendations on what we need to do to reach OI. And I think that should be added to the section after the sector workshops, that be included in that kind of number three, that we look at the reason we're not catching OI and move. If there are reasons that we can move in a framework, we should do that to fix that. So that's just my input. I don't know whether we should make a motion at this point or we wait and just see how the conversation goes. It's up to the chairman, I guess.
I
think I'll wait.
Okay. Dr. Peter or Pat?
Just to, while we're on ground fish, I would argue that the review, the 10% quota rollover provision, could also be included under number two when you're looking at the sector rules. Seems to me it's part of that discussion as well.
Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, I agree with the suggestion made by Jim about measures to facilitate capture all of the OI or most of it, since we're looking at the data for the last fishing year. The industry certainly did fall far short of all of the ACLs for a variety of reasons. But anyways, so I agree with that, and I also agree with Pat's suggestion that the 10% rollover, that issue be incorporated into number four, I guess, as renumbered. Question regarding number one on the list. I assume it's a typo, completion December 2011. Top row. It says completion for amendment 18 to consider fleet diversity and accumulation caps. Completion December 2012. That's correct? Okay, so that shouldn't be number one. It's numbered incorrectly, that's all. Okay. All right. I need to bring to the council's attention a few things that relate to scallops, if we're ready to move beyond groundfish, Mr. Chairman. Or if you're going through this sequentially, I'll wait.
No?
Okay. All right. First, I believe all council members received a letter from Ray Starvish, dated September 19. And along with that letter, he provided a white paper that was written by Jeff Pike, Pike Associates, and this is with regard to the scallop small dredge exemption program. Now, I had almost forgotten about that program, and I guess I had forgotten about that program, and Mr. Starvish brought it back to light, put it back on the table. So I would encourage all council members to read that white paper, especially the new members, because it's a rather fascinating description of how we progressed from what was a very important action in the 1990s to where we are right now. And the white paper and Ray Starvish make very compelling arguments for the council taking that particular issue, the small dredge exemption program, and moving it above the line. That's his view. Now, the scallop committee, when discussing priorities for consideration by this full council, no committee member made a motion. There was no committee position on the small dredge exemption program. Mr. Starvish got to the mic. He made his points, but there was no motion to make it above the line or below the line. Still, it is an issue and council members need to think about this one. Since this is just the preliminary discussion regarding priorities, and I believe it warrants some serious attention, especially if we do intend to move forward, as already stated, or suggested by the executive committee, with the development of IFQs as part of Amendment 16, because this relates to catch histories, and it's fascinating to reflect on the nature of the catch histories that have occurred as a consequence of the scallop small dredge exemption. I won't get into the specifics because it's very detailed and the history is complicated, but it's well written, this white paper, so please pay attention to that. It'll come up again. Now, another point regarding scallop committee action relative to priority issues is that the committee heard the recommendation from the advisory panel regarding IFQs, and the advisory panel recommended to the scallop committee, that the IFQs not be part of priority setting for the council. After discussion, the committee concluded that it should advise the council that the IFQs, pursuing Amendment 16 to consider IFQs at this time, would be below the line. So that committee recommendation conflicts with the above-the-line management priority suggested by the executive committee, as shown as number two in the list of action items. So, again, just bringing that to the council's attention, that's a rather significant difference, scallop committee versus the executive committee position. And in addition to that, if you refer to tab 4, scallops, document number 3, you'll see the motions that were made at our scallop committee meeting, and there are some that relate to priority setting. I want to call your attention to these, since obviously it'll be too late, won't be too late, but it would seem inappropriate to raise it tomorrow afternoon during scallops. Number 13, this is a motion that passed 404, so it wasn't exactly gangbusters. Four people decided to abstain on this motion. Four did vote in favor of it, so it's a unanimous vote. I love those sorts of unanimous votes. Anyways, this was motion 19 from the advisory panel, rather long, but I'll summarize it. Motion 19 from the advisory panel was provided to us. It passed by a 10-0. And we talked about it, and then, as I said, 404. This would be to have a priority above the line that would be for the development of strategies related to managing yellowtail flounder bycatch under the scallop FMP. And then it goes on from there, makes mention of the groundfish committees dealing with this issue as well. And there are a couple of suggestions as to the sorts of strategies that might be developed for managing yellowtail flounder bycatch, such as subdividing the yellowtail flounder sub-ACL, participation in groundfish sectors for the limited access general category fishery. There was strong support for that. Changing the sub-ACL to a baseline allocation rather than based on projected catch. Redesigning the access area program. Those are some of the strategies that could be looked at as above-the-line priorities. So that was a committee recommendation for an above-the-line priority specific to scallops. I think that might be it. However, before I say that is it, I would turn to Deirdre, who is here, to assist me with this issue. And if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, I would like her to note any mistake I may have made or any omission I may have made, especially since she's a thumbs up. Okay, good. All right, so I guess I've covered it. Those are the issues. I'm not making any motion on behalf of the committee unless you direct me to. Again, looking for guidance as to how we're going to move this forward and prepare ourselves for the continuation of these discussions at our next council meeting.
If I may, is your suggestion that we eliminate number two and replace it with something?
No, I'm not making any specific suggestion yet. I'm just conveying the nature of the committee recommendations, some of which reflect advisory panel recommendations. The most noteworthy change, however, I think, is that the decision last 2010, I guess, 2011. But anyways, right now the priority item, priority issue for scallops, one of them, was to develop the IFQs, continue Amendment 16 IFQs. So after further reflection, the committee is saying, no, don't make it above the line, put it below the line. It is important. It needs to be addressed. But there are other scallop committee issues that the committee and the advisory panel feel have higher priority. So, yeah, I guess what I'm saying is that that would come below the line on scallops. And then the motion 19 from the advisory panel that was adopted by the committee, those issues related to strategies for managing yellowtail flounder bycatch under the scallop FMP would go above the line to be an above the line priority, which would accompany the preparation of a framework 24 to set the specs for 2013 and 14 and default measures for 15.
Paul.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. My recommendation is I think that we're probably doing twice the work if we brainstorm and then go to motions. I really think that in order to be clear, the idea was that, you know, motions are made if you want something to be considered in November. So right now, there's nothing on the table to be considered. We haven't seen a motion yet. So I'm just wondering if we're doing twice the work. For instance, I don't, you know, on the OY and on the look at the 10% carryover, that's under groundfish, but there's been no motion, so nothing's coming back to the council. And now on this, the scallop motion, you know, I'd rather have a motion that says we are or we're not, because that's considerable workload to the groundfish committee to include scallop yellowtail as part of sectors or general category as part of sectors, and you already know groundfish is full. So that's the kind of debate we need, but I'd rather have it up front with a motion as opposed to, you know, just talking through things and then say, we'll do the best we can for November.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion on scallops if you'd like to, or I'll hold off until you hear other discussion.
I think we'll go back to Jim's comments and ask if he wants to make a motion on that, and then we'll come on to scallops.
Might as well add Pat's to it, right?
Okay, I'm going to wing this one. I guess I would make a motion, and that we reverse the order of the priorities under groundfish, and we'll add the one that Paul was talking about, number four, which is adjust the specs for the nine stocks that we're going to receive in 2012. So that would be number one. Number two would be prepare a framework action and adjust sector rules based on lessons learned from October 2011 sector workshop, including addressing the 10% carryover provision and the question of why we are not reaching OY and come up with recommendations to achieve OY. That would be number two. Number three would be to coordinate action on the habitat omnibus amendment to include possible modifications for the groundfish closed areas. And number four would be continue Amendment 18 to consider fleet diversity and accumulation caps. Is that clear enough for close enough?
Do we have a second for that motion? Terry Stockwell? All of you are
Say, Mr. Chairman, the letter to us from the service and the intent of the congressional interest was to review the 10% carryover to see if there was any need to increase it or could it be increased. So if the Groundfish Committee then, if it's given a priority, would review it. And if they say, you know, there's too much problems with staying under an ACL or whatever, then there wouldn't be options for it.
Yeah, that's the intent of the motion, is to do the review.
Okay, Tom, excuse me, I'm going to add you to the list. I've got Dave Preble, then Frank Blount, then Tom, then Doug.
Okay, thank you. I support this motion, even though I would like to see the habitat brought as high as possible, but I would like to just point out one small thing. As far as the old number one continue Amendment 18, the fleet diversity, is concerned, if you're familiar with the direction the Habitat Omnibus Amendment is taking right now, to get that finished will do more, because it will favor the small boat inshore fleet. Will do more to promote fleet diversity than anything else we could possibly do. So I would not like to see the Habitat Omnibus Amendment drop down to below the line, but I still support this motion.
Yeah, I want to be clear. I never said put habitat below the line. I just changed it in the order in that as priorities, and my assumption is that you work on all of these at the same time, but some just have a little higher priority than the others. I mean, it doesn't mean you stop working on Amendment 18 or you stop working on Habitat until something else is done. It means that you're going to do these with a priority, that's all. That they're all a priority under Groundfish, but you weight the priorities. I mean, you have to, otherwise you don't know where you are.
Just one comment on this. I think Paul's intent about getting motions out here was to pull things up from below the line to make sure that they would get considered under priorities. May not mean that in the final vote they end up staying there. And we probably don't have to spend a huge amount of time on the priorities of these right now, but the objective was to, if there are some new things to consider, that we would vote on the final action on this. So I'm just making that comment. We're beginning to debate the whole thing that we're going to debate again in November. That's all right. That's all right.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Jim, when you spoke the first time, you said under additional, you said the recreational issue. And the way this is worded, I'm not so sure it's worded correctly, because it says recreational issues, expecting new recreational catch data. I would argue that it's probably not a recreational issue. And it says the council may want to react. I hope the council does react. But I thought you did the first time you said... Oh, okay. Well, sorry. But either way, under this particular issue, this one's huge. If the stock, if it comes in and the recreational catch is much lower than we thought it was, see if I have this right. If it's lower than we thought, it means, yeah, either way, if it's higher than we thought, the stock we've estimated to be too low. If it's lower, the stock is probably smaller than we thought. If it comes in just about right, we probably don't have to do anything. So, I mean, if the recreational catch comes in and we find out the numbers have always been too low, Tom, correct me, I think it would mean the stock was lower than we thought. If the rec catch is high, we've underestimated the size of the stock. So this could have huge implications for, you know, a couple of species anyway. So I don't know where we put it, depending on what numbers come out of it, but it's definitely, I think, the council, it's more than may want to react, and I don't think it's a recreational issue. I think it's an issue across, you know, both commercial and recreational. So something we're going to have to give some thought to when those numbers come out.
Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think part of Frank's confusion is that we don't have identified on the first page of this document a number 4, and we had just discussed it. I just want to make clear that we should probably have it in the motion. It's the framework 47 for setting the specs. So it's not the number 4 under the groundfish under additional considerations on page 2.
Thank you for that clarification. Doug Grout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with your direction here. I have no problem with Jim's motion from the standpoint of adding things in or dropping things off, but I do have a problem with it ordering prioritization within the groundfish right now. I think that's something we should be addressing at the next meeting. And unless if Mr. Odlin would like to remove the prioritization at this point, I'd be willing to support this. But with the prioritization in there right now, I can't support this motion.
Frank, then Sally, then Dave Gaethel.
I'd just like to respond to a comment that Frank made about the MRIP catches. We recognize that it's likely that it's going to be a significant issue, but we've already decided at the agency level that each of the species stocks is going to be handled on a species-by-species basis. We don't know what the overall reaction is going to be to what could be potential significant changes in landings from MRIP as opposed to MRFs. So it's not going to be something that we do all at once. We're going to be handling that on an assessment-by-assessment basis.
There was a motion at the last Habitat Committee meeting relating to the overlap between groundfish and habitat measures, the potential changes to the groundfish closures as they relate to potential changes in the habitat closures in the omnibus habitat amendment. The motion was to recommend that the council prioritize completion of the omnibus habitat amendment, including analysis of the groundfish closures year-round and rolling. The motion goes on a little bit further, but the point is that motion passed unanimously. I think what Doug said that I don't think at this point we should be tweaking internally to groundfish because the Habitat Committee had that whole discussion about where that should reside, and adding. I'm in the same boat as Doug. If we're prioritizing within groundfish, I can't support this the way it's written, largely because it means that we're kind of bumping down where the consideration of the groundfish closures would be, and that's going to slow the habitat amendment down even further.
Just so that we have on the board what we should be addressing, I'm going to ask the maker if he would like to make some changes to that.
Yeah, in light of the discussion and the direction that the chair and Paul have laid out for us, that this should happen at the November meeting, these kind of tweaks of priorities within groundfish, and we only want to be adding things. So I'm going to, if the seconder agrees, I'd like to withdraw this motion at this time, and we'll bring it back in November. And
without Terry?
Yeah, I concur with that, but you still intend to put the OY and the 10% above the bar? That'd be a separate motion?
Yes. This will be a new motion.
Yeah, okay, so I concur.
Yes. First of all, I just have to find out that the withdrawal would be without objection of anybody. We've debated. It's been seconded. Okay, motion is withdrawn. Jim?
Okay, expedite things, we're going to just add two items to be considered in November under groundfish. One is to consider the 10% carryover. and consider the question of why we're not achieving OI and recommendations to achieve, to come closer. And number three is the additional spec setting for 9 additional stocks to happen in 2012.
Is there a second? Terry Stockwell. On the list, I have Dave Gaethel and Dr. Pierce.
Hey, I actually had a question related to the original list of priorities, and that's still on the board, correct? The original? Right, but that this is to add those to this original list provided by the executive committee.
Correct.
Correct? Okay, so my question is, the issue of monitoring, I suspect, is going to come up at the sector review, and I want to make sure that that's part of this. If we have to address monitoring at some point here, this could become almost an emergency situation before May 1st, that we have the ability to do it through this existing priorities.
I would think that that there could be something under the adjusting sector rules based on lessons learned from the sector workshop. But
I want to get that on the record. I want to be sure that that's what everybody understands, because, you know, again, my understanding at the moment is there's language in the Senate bill to possibly resolve this issue. But if it doesn't make it through conference, we are still going to be faced with a situation where come May 1st, 2012, the groundfish industry is set up so that virtually nobody can leave the pier, because the cost of the monitoring will exceed the value of the fish they catch. So this is an issue that we are going to have to deal with. So as long as it's covered by this motion, it's still on the list, then I'm all set with it.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, I thought that the maker of the motion had something additional to number two. Maybe I didn't hear you right, Jim. I thought you had said something like, question of why OI isn't being caught, and then measures needed to promote the attainment of the OI, something like that. You wanted to go beyond that. What can we do to achieve the OIs, or at least promote the attainment of the OIs? I thought you had said something like that, but I look to you for clarification.
I did, but I thought that I was trying to make a short motion, actually, but yes, and measures needed to achieve OI, or at least attempt to achieve OI.
Is that okay with a seconder? Any other comments on this motion? Go to the audience. Any comments? Back to the council. Doug.
Just a final comment. Again, thank you, Jim, for doing that. This is something that I definitely can support. One comment on Dave's concern about monitoring costs. My question is to have any kind of a framework put together to address the impending cost of having the industry pay for at-sea monitoring in May. Wouldn't we have to start a framework right now, or at the very latest in our November meeting, to actually have any kind of measures that would address that before the next fishing year? And I guess if you're looking for someone to specifically ask that to, just maybe Pat could give me an input on what, how long that would take. At what point would we have to start a framework to have any kind of measure that might affect the industry's requirement to pay for it?
So the question, as I understand it, is when would you have to initiate a framework action to make changes that would be effective for the start of next fishing year?
Correct.
So you would have to take final action at your November meeting to be able to have something in place for the start of the May 1 fishing year.
Thank you.
Jim.
And this is just a question. And I know that there is some funding available for monitoring. And I think the question is, would be a Pat, if there's some funding available for monitoring, I think one of the beauties of sector management or quota-based management is that you don't necessarily have to have all your frameworks start May 1st. For instance, if we couldn't get it done by May 1st, but we could get it done by August 1st, would there be enough funding to get us from May to August if we know that there's a change in our plan coming, so that maybe it's not a drop-dead date, is my question of the service, if there is an identified percentage of funding available?
Maybe a little bit further.
So, of course, we don't have our 2012 budget. Right, and we're not even on a CR yet. Right now we're planning for a shutdown, but hey. So right now, the FC monitoring, which is actually out of the center, is the FC monitoring program is funded just through the end of this fishing year, so April 30 of next year. And so we've been trying to... for both the dockside and the at-sea monitoring sort of pay ahead, but without 2012 funding, we wouldn't be able to pay beyond the start of the fishing year.
Yeah, but if your SBRM is a certain percentage over a period of time, so you could, you know, if the first 2 months you were going to use that percentage. In other words, you look at the year and we're going to have 25% coverage, but 8% of it or 9% of it's covered by SBRM. That can potentially get you to the first couple of months of the year, and then you can implement a framework. That's kind of what I was trying to get at. In other words, there's got to be more ways to, what did they say, skin a cat?
So from a strictly financial perspective, you're right. I mean, if we didn't have the additional cat share funds that were directed specifically towards at-sea monitors, we'd have to drop back to the 8% that are covered as part of groundfish. But that is an extraordinary risk that we take.
Yeah, I'm just saying that it's going to be hard for us to do a final framework and have a final vote by November. I mean, we might be able to do something by January, so we're looking at a couple of months. That's why I was trying to draw that out, because I think it's impossible for us to think we can get a final framework on anything by November.
Further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor so indicate. Unanimous. Dr. Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would make a motion, and this would be on behalf of the committee, so it doesn't need a second, relative to priorities. That motion would be move that continuation of Amendment 16 to develop
IFQs, be moved to below the line, and insert above the line strategies to manage yellowtail flounder bycatch under the scallop FMP including measures listed, strategies listed, including those strategies listed in motion 19 from the September 13 Sea Scallop Committee meeting. And I've already referenced that, those particular issues in the my previous remarks. That is motion 19.
13.
It's motion 13. That's motion 19 of the advisory panel. So it's motion 13. Thank you, David. It's motion 13.
A second.
Dr. Pierce, I'm not going to be argumentative, but I think it would be better to have this seconded because you have crafted together two separate motions by the committee.
I stand by your guidance, so certainly.
So am I seeing Mr. Preble waving his hand to second? Thank you. Discussion. Dave and then Jim.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I would like to point out a couple of things here. First of all, on the A16 issue, there was not one single vote by either the AP or the committee in favor of continuing A16 at this time. And that was primarily because in looking at all of the other priorities, whether it was a good move or not wasn't relevant. In looking at all the other priorities, it clearly did not rise to their level. That was one thing. Secondly, there was considerable audience discussion, and there was not one single comment from the audience in favor of continuing A16 at this time. So it wasn't a close issue. It was a very distinctly anti-A16 at this time vote and input by the audience. And the other one was there was no vote against the other part of it either. So this was a strongly held position on the part of the committee.
Again, I'm probably at fault here for not catching it. I mean, I don't think it's a big deal. The objective here was to add things, not necessarily subtract them at this point. So we're taking something, we're debating taking something and putting it below the line rather than just adding that additional thing that Dr. Pierce wanted.
That's
the committee motion. Yeah. So we can leave that at this point, I think. But the intent was to add, not to do all of the debating here. Other comments? Go to the audience. Mr. Minkiewicz.
Thank you. Drew Minkiewicz, Fishery Survival Fund. Survival Fund strongly supports this combined committee motion. We've supported both individual motions and support them combined together. And this meets with the priorities of the Fishery Survival Fund. And members are very interested and are working on the yellowtail flounder issues and other fly fish and trying to come up with solutions and think it's the highest priority. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Back to the council. Sally.
Just further detail on what Drew just said. So I'm assuming that this isn't necessarily just limited to yellowtail. If we can get something to deal with other species that are a problem, we'll do it. Correct?
Yeah. Were you looking at the maker of the motion?
I was looking at the chair because I wasn't at the committee meeting.
I would think that it would make a lot of sense to have a process that would cover a number of different stocks. Dave, Paul?
Yeah, to answer Sally's question, if you look at motion 19, which is referenced here, the whole thing was not, I'm sorry, motion 13, the original motion 19. As part of that, it says, and I'm reading this, this action would focus on yellowtail initially, but could be expanded to other bycatch species if needed.
Thank you. Paul?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. There's, in my view of this, it's considerable groundfish input. Could even be an amendment that requires a lot of groundfish attention. So, if you approve it to be considered, that come November you're going to have to consider the impact on the groundfish committee and PDT.
Any other comments? Call for a vote. All those in favor, so indicate. Contrary-minded? Abstention? 1. 16-0-1. Motion carries. Dr. Pierce.
One more on scallops, and this is not priority. I would move, not on behalf of the committee, this is on my own, I would move that we include review of the sea scallops small dredge exemption program to determine if it should be continued. And again, this reflects the earlier remarks regarding what was brought forward to us in the form of a white paper. So this would give the council members a chance to read it and decide at the next meeting whether it does warrant being above the line, below the line, or wherever. So review of the scallop small dredge exemption program to determine if it should be continued.
I'm having just difficulty with this from the standpoint of how does this relate to priorities? Do you want to make it an above-the-line priority? Do you want to make it something that you're asking the council to remand this to the scallop committee?
I thought you did not want to have, did not want motions above the line or below the line, just things that should be considered for the next council meeting for decisions to be above the line, below the line, not at all, remove it. So in order not to have this slip away, I thought it would be appropriate to at least put it on the list.
Yep.
For later consideration.
Then the list would be above the line. My suggestion was at this point we don't take them off, that we get everything above the line, and then we see how much we have there, then we make the decision of what gets cut and what doesn't in November. So essentially the review would be added to above the line for scallops is what you would like?
So I can't make a motion to have it below the line. All right. I would move that above the line, we would include a review of the sea scallop small dredge exemption program to determine if it should be continued.
Second. Rodney. Discussion. Jim.
I have a question of Dr. Pierce, and it's a little bit on this motion. It's just that I don't understand. I read the letter, and I understand the small dredge exemption and where it is and how it got to where it is. But something's been coming to my attention lately. And where does the net fisheries fall in the scallop fishery? Is this something – I'm asking this question of the scallop committee. Is that something that needs to be considered also? I mean, it seems to me that there's something there that's going on. I just don't have the data.
Yeah, if I may, Mr. Chairman, this motion isn't specific to the trawl fishery.
the trawl fishery issue is important, but it relates to yellowtail flounder bycatch in the trawl fishery as opposed to being caught by general category fishermen, for example. So that's an issue for tomorrow afternoon. Again, it's a specific small dredge exemption program that continues to exist, should it continue to exist. In light of the contentions made by Mr. Stavish and supported through the history of this particular program described in the white paper.
Yep.
So that this the net thing is a bycatch thing issue, so that could be, I mean, we're doing priorities today. We want to get things above the line, and you're going to discuss that tomorrow, so the time is just a little off. My question is, the motion that was passed about working on yellowtail and other bycatch issues in the scallop fisheries, could the net fisheries be addressed under that? And if so, then we're all set. And if not, then do we need to consider? I don't know what you're going to discuss tomorrow, and so I'm trying to figure out, will we be covered with that issue, with the previous motion above the line?
I guess I'm not following your logic. This is about dredge, small dredge, not nets.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other comments, Paul?
Well, I think the issue is that the trawl, the general category trawl fishery is catching more yellowtail than the dredge fishery. It's a totally different issue. So Jim's question was, you know, is if that's a fact, is it going to be addressed under the motion they just passed? And I'm sure it would be. Bycatch of yellowtail.
Yes, it would be. Yes. Sorry, I misunderstood you, Jim.
Any other comments? Audience? Drew.
Thank you. Drew Minkiewicz, Fisheries Survival Fund. As I say, a little confused by this motion. Is it saying to start an action or just look at it? Because my understanding is, and this has been come up several times, this to remove the small dredge exemption would require an amendment because it's an allocation issue. To that, you know, so obviously it's a major undertaking. So are we just looking at the history of it, or I'm not quite sure what this motion says we're going to do. That being said, Fishery Survival Fund is on record as strongly opposing the removal of the small dredge exemption. This was a decision, an allocation that was done back in 1994. It's been in place for 17 years, and the Survival Fund doesn't feel it's proper to go back now after a decision was made in 1994. And revisit it now, and you're also, you know, looking at reallocating the fishery. It gets very complicated very fast. And the position of the Survival Fund is that this should remain. The fishery is working the way it is, and there's also a lot of people contest the numbers that are in the white paper. You know, this is, you're getting one side of the story with numbers that are selected by the people advocating this position. So certainly question all the information you have in that white paper. And it's many believe it's not nearly the impact that's being promoted in the white paper. Thank you.
Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Kalin with Lunds Fisheries in Cape May, New Jersey. I echo, we are members of the Fisheries Survival Fund, too. We have full-time and part-time scallop permits. And if you remember, a year or so ago, we came to you and asked that the gear restrictions in the small dredge exemption be eliminated so that we could take two dredges into the access areas because we're allocated a certain amount of scallops. That was taken off the table because it was, you know, just a piece of a very big involved allocation process that occurred in 1994. There was no support on the part of the advisors, which I am not one of, or the committee to move in this direction at all, because we want to avoid an allocation fight in the scallop fishery over the next couple of years as we focus on resource issues like bycatch issues or access into areas that are not now open to us in conjunction with the Habitat Committee and the Groundfish Committee. We have a lot of issues that we want to deal with. This is going to fracture the industry. This particular approach, frankly, was directed to me at one point in time a year or so ago as a threat that if you guys want to go down this road, we'll eliminate the whole program. Well, you can't do that. It's 17 years of allocations that have occurred. If we want to go to IFQs, fine. We'll put everything on the table and do it all at one time. But this particular motion doesn't warrant your support today, and we'd like to we'd ask that you would not approve it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Gary Hatch, I was here. Unfortunately, I'm number one, and I also was number one when we did this back in 93 with Bill Brennan. This white paper that's circulating, I'm kind of appalled that people even are reading it because it's so biased, and not only that, not factual, because the majority of the small dredge boats were the criteria where the net boats could upgrade if we was to eliminate the nets to help on the yellowtail and the fish bycatch. As that white paper clearly indicates, there's only one left. Do you want to invest all this time and effort into getting rid of me? And it is me, one guy from Maine. If you wish to, please state so, because if I'm going to go down, I'll spend every dime I got till every one of you are out of a job, too.
Anyone else? Back to the council. Any further comments? Call for the vote. All those in favor, so indicate. One, two, three, four. Five in favor. Opposed? Ten opposed. Abstention? One. Did we miscount there somewhere? Okay, six in favor. Okay, so, I'm sorry, six in favor. Six, ten, one. Motion fails. Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't intend to make a motion. I thought about it, but since you were talking about only putting things above the line, not below the line, I'm not going to make the motion. But the discussion at the scallop committee meeting and with the industry prior to that was really about whether or not we would replace the IFQ amendment with these yellowtail bycatch issues, which are of prime importance to everyone in the industry. And then you had some people who would like to move forward a pilot leasing program based on our recent amendment where we did not reach, you know, the primary goal of the amendment. And so there was definitely tension among the industry about having that discussion, and there remains to be a significant portion of people who would like to see that pilot leasing program move forward. You know, the way we worked this in the past, we'd have things that were below the line on the list, and then they're the, like the starting point for things that didn't make it above the line for last year, let's say, actions we haven't taken. And so if you don't want us to make motions to put things below the line for the moment, I think I'm just going to leave it there, and hopefully I don't think Deirdre will forget about the priority and will not, you know, go away at this point.
I'm not actually going to make a motion on this because I don't think one is needed because we have a framework that's framework 24 in the scallop plan that's going to be open for specs. But I think in that framework, we're going to need to consider the limited access fleet's accountability measures for scallops and some unintended impacts on the distribution of scalloping opportunities on an annual basis. I think we can address that and some of the leasing issues in the IFQ plan in that framework without delaying it. So I won't put a motion up on that, but I want that you know, sort of put forward through that amendment, or excuse me, framework.
Dave Gatham.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to prepare an amendment for limited entry in Whiting.
Is there a second? Doug Grout.
It's already up for consideration. And the reason for this is, since I have a second, is first of all, we'll be done with the specs by March. And second of all, it's the number one priority that the Whiting advisors have consistently identified at every single Whiting meeting. So basically, if not now, when? This is as good a time as any, given that we don't have a skate action scheduled and the Whiting action should be done by March.
Comments? Dr. Pierce.
I would support putting it above the line now for reflection. I can think back a number of years, not too long ago when I was on the executive committee, and there were many discussions about limited entry for Whiting, and the reason why we didn't move forward was lack of an assessment that had to be done first. Again, it was a few years ago, and now, of course, we see in the list of items for Whiting, continue Whiting amendment to set the ACLs, the AMs, and the specs, so there we are. We're in a situation now where we've sort of crossed that threshold, putting us into a position where we should return to what was considered to be a very important action back then, and I think it still is important and warrants being above the line. So I'll support the motion.
Rodney.
I'll also support this motion. Like David said, it's been stated at all the previous meetings, and most of these boats that participate in the Whiting fishery have nothing to back them up. They've lost all their other permits, and this is the only thing they have left. And to allow new entrants in that have other permits, I don't think it's right.
Glenn, was it Terry had his hand up? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've got mixed feelings about this. Limited entry may be an important issue for the for a number of the Whiting fishermen. I'm concerned about the resources and overloading the our wish list. So that come November, we're looking at trimming away other fisheries. We just talked about scallops and the impact of scallops is going to have on groundfish, and I know that it's different staff, but everyone works together, and I hate to vote for something now to vote against it again later and save us the time. So,
very bad.
I'm just getting a little confused about our process here, because generally when we have these discussions, we have a straw man that places certain actions above the line, some below. And the ones above the line are the limitations on resources. And if you're going to take something from below the line and put it up, you've got to take something up above and put it down. And so I wanted to make the motion to put the pilot leasing program just on the list, so it would be on the list and not go away. But then we're adding stuff, but we're not subtracting stuff. And what are we going to do in November? I'm getting a little uncertain there.
Well, the intent was that we would bring up the things that we wanted on there, whether it was up from below the list or some came from other places as well. I think the executive committee will discuss these again, but yes, in November there are going to have to be some things because of staff capacity and our ability to deal with them that are going to have to go back below the line. But the intent was to try and get everything up there so we could look at what needed to be above the line, and then come November, people are going to have to make the decision of what takes a priority and what gets sent below. May or may not be the same item. Gene.
Just for clarification, if this passes, would this be in combination with the
the other measures that are specified here, or a separate amendment?
This would be a separate amendment. Okay.
Any other? Rodney?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that this would be after we get through with all of that to work on it. I mean, if we're just going to throw that out before, we're doing an injustice to the whiting industry. They've been asking for this since I've been on this council. And I'm getting ready to get kicked off this council just like them. So I think at least we should look at it. Maybe it might become a priority, maybe it may not, but not to put it on here at this time, I think it'd do them an injustice.
Any other council comments? Audience? Back to the council. Call for the question. All those in favor so indicate. Opposed? One. Abstention? Okay, 16-1-0. Motion carries. Anything else? Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, this is with regards to a point that Mary Beth made. She's expressed interest in this Scallop pilot DCC leasing program. She's going to raise it as a motion at the either now or at the next meeting. And what I would appreciate is staff helping me and us out. I thought that we had at a council meeting not too long ago actually had a motion to go with a pilot DCC leasing program, and that was defeated. So I would like the record reviewed to determine if indeed that did happen. If you recall, that issue came up after the defeat of the larger amendment regarding days at sea lease consolidation, days at sea leasing, extremely controversial, very contentious, took hours and hours of debate and staff time, and that went down. So the pilot leasing program was raised as something to be considered, and I think we voted it down, so that would help us with our discussion about the priority setting, if indeed that is the case.
Dee, can you help us with that?
Yeah, I'll check, but from my memory last year, after stacking and leasing Amendment 15 was rejected, the discussion was to start a pilot leasing program potentially at the last priority setting, and that did fail, but in its place, after everyone took a break for lunch, we came back and decided to put an IFQ amendment on the table instead, and I believe at the time it was described as, well, let's really talk about everything and the larger picture. So Amendment 16 expanded into talking about IFQs and not just pilot leasing.
That's quite correct. So just to point out that when we do discuss what to do with that particular concept, we have voted to go with the Scallop Committee recommendation, which is to put the IFQ program, the development of the IFQ program through Amendment 16 below the line. So if we make a decision to put Days at Sea pilot program leasing above the line, we are illogical in terms of how we treat this issue. At least that's my view.
Anything else on this? David Gaethel?
This is a difficult one. Hagfish. I know it's not a popular subject, but they serve an important ecological function. And I remember the last time hagfish came up for discussion, I'm going to have my memory refreshed, but I think we referred it back to the service because we didn't have any basic biological data on which to construct an FMP, and I'm wondering if that has changed any.
No.
Okay. Well, as the little bit of a conscious type thing here, these are, they've been overfished in other regions and other parts of the world,
You know, they do serve an important ecological function, and at some point we really ought to make sure that we deal with this, because if we don't, you know, we could have, it could have important ecological ramifications by just ignoring it, because it really doesn't have a constituency, because it's an ugly, smelly thing.
Anyone else? Mary Beth?
Yeah, I'd like to go back to some of Dave's comments earlier about the cost of observers, and clearly there's some short-term issues for the groundfish fishery, and there's some long-term issues for everybody in the region, including the Mid-Atlantic. And we have one item on our list. It's currently under the SBRM, and I'm wondering if we shouldn't be considering, you know, establishing a new committee that could address the SBRM issue, which we're not sure what that really is or what the solutions to that might be, and also just the observer program in general. We implemented through Amendment 16 requirements on the groundfish fishery that have no set percentage of required coverage. So, I mean, this can change over time based on a whole bunch of things, and the financial burden on the industry is going to change with that. And as Dave pointed out, we currently have a program which, you know, the cost of that day exceeds the value of the fish that the vessel is going to catch. And we're going to have a conversation later in the week about herring and what it means for implementing a monitoring program in herring. And it just is going to, it's going to continue to grow. It's not an issue that's going to grow, go away for any of us. And, you know, participating in fisheries in the North Pacific, they've evolved in a very, very different way than they've evolved here. They've recently restructured their observer program in the Gulf of Alaska. And in the amendment, it's very clear in laying out who's responsible to pay what. And the industry only pays for direct costs. They do not pay for you know, training, sampling, safety gear, field office support, data management, data quality control, and the analysis, and it goes on. You know, so it's very separated out who's responsible for what. We don't have anything like that here. The council's not really weighed in on you know, how the program exists in the Northeast, and I think that's because the agency's always paid for it. And so it's just a very different, it's a very different animal here versus there. And I think the council is going to need to step up and get into the details of these programs. I mean, the straw man on the visioning, you know, monitoring, very, very big piece. And we need to start now. I mean, I don't think we can wait any longer. And so, you know, we either, you know, tackle this issue or, you know, fleet diversity. Let's just say we don't want any more small boats in the region, period. And then, you know, because they can't afford to pay for the monitoring. I mean, that's where we're at. I don't know what the best, I could make a motion, or if people, if we could just add, you know, this is a task under this particular item, and we could come back maybe after the staff has had some time to think about what does it mean to have, you know, a observer committee, SBRM responsibility, and other issues. I'm not sure that I've really got it defined, and I could make a motion, but I'm not sure it speaks to the issue as well as it could.
It seems to me that if, and I think there still has to be some discussion, whether it's at the executive committee with council and the regional administrator, as to what some of the things might have to be to address this. So perhaps, you know, we can... as you say, incorporated if we are required to take an action on this.
So just in follow-up, I think it doesn't seem like I need to make a motion now, that perhaps by the time we get to November we might have a little bit more clarity on where we could go.
I hope so.
Thanks. I was looking at the ecosystem management priority, and it seems clear from some of the discussion that we had earlier that the intent is to have a committee dedicated, or the potential is to have a committee dedicated to moving some of those issues. I think based on that discussion, I think it makes sense to start with some action items that are tangible and could be seen by the industry as a step towards that, and basically a sort of a first bite at that transition. And to that, to try to get that rolling, I think I'd submit a motion to develop a plan to move forward on FMP consolidation. and direct staff to draft a white paper to explore issues associated with the development of a programmatic EIS. Oh, did I speak too quickly? Just to follow up with that, I think, you know, as we look at the existing item on ecosystem management, yeah, I think establishing goals and objectives, I think that does need to happen, and identifying those ecosystem units. But I'd like to actually start the work of getting this transition off the ground. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. The way we talked about it at executive committee is that we do have to take small bites, and that this is a huge undertaking, and we need to identify the management requirements in phase two. And that's where we'd look at in phase two. There's the descriptions of phase one, two, and three. In phase two would take 2 years and would look at developing that. And that's what we discussed at executive committee, and I discussed with Dr. Fogarty, that it's just an awful lot of work to do everything all at once. And that would be done in phase two.
Tom.
Thanks very much. And I understand that the straw man originally was to move forward with a very front-loaded approach that would look at, you know, the entire process. I think we do well to engage the industry and actually make some of these changes, which are both part of launching the transition to EBFM, but also included in the Touchstone report as things that we could do to streamline management and to make it easier for the industry and stakeholders to participate in this process. So I think with that, I'll leave that. I think it can and should be done.
Jim.
Yeah, I support this motion because it's a tangible, and in addition, we had an interspecies committee of this council, I think it was for 2 years, and did 2 years' worth of work and came back with a recommendation that this council voted on and passed to combine, I think it was monkfish and it was maybe skates, but monkfish and multi-species in any event was supposed to be combined. We passed the motion, was supposed to do it, and it's never happened. So, and I hate those things when we do 2 years worth of work, come up with a recommendation, the council votes on it, and gets lost in the shuffle. So that's part of the reason why I support this motion.
Paul Howard.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I hope the council would consider this as a separate priority from ecosystem management, because it's going to take considerable resources, you know, additional resources to do this. Or do you can consider this as part of the ecosystem management committee and staff to do this? I had thought it would be that group that would do it in phase two. But if this is a separate action, then, you know, I hope you look at it that way. That's the way I'll present it to the executive committee, a separate action, separate resources. Something would have to fall below the line if you want to do this.
Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I support this in concept, but I think I was leaning towards where Paul's coming from, is that this is going to be part of the kind of holistic ecosystem action that we're endorsing to move ahead with. And, I mean, to raise it above the line, it's already there. So I don't know if this might be, unless I, you know, maybe Tom, your intention is to have a separate action from that.
Dave Gaethel, then Dave Preble.
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit confused. I think I'm going to ask Paul. My understanding from the motion was this would be the first step in ecosystem management. If I understand what you're saying correctly, you're saying this isn't the first step. This is the second step. So, I mean, what is the first step then? Could you? I can't hear.
The first step is goals and objectives of ecosystem-based management and identifying, establishing the ecosystem production units.
Okay, so I mean, I would suggest to the maker and the seconder that they withdraw this and let's do what's first on the list and because I think that's going to be tough enough. That's a 1 year project for a committee by itself. And then once we've got that, then we can see if we can take this next step. But I think the one thing we don't want to do is, you know, end up with the cart in front of the horse to get into the whole horse cart thing again.
Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief here because I think Dave Gaethel just said most of what I was thinking. It does say under the ecosystem management priority, which we already have gone along with, and then it's giving a directive when we've already got directives. I agree with exactly what this is, what it says, but I think we've already covered it.
Anyone else? Sally.
Yeah, I support the motion. I don't think that we have covered it. I think what we have done several times over the last few years is to determine the general areas within which we should be consolidating plans, Gulf of Maine, Georges Bank, Southern New England. And that's made it through various stages of committee consideration, full council consideration, even as far back as, I think, 2005. So, I fully support this. This doesn't commit us to going the whole distance, but it does commit us to actually taking a step forward. Thank you.
Anyone else? Pat.
Yeah, I think the executive committee spent a lot of time discussing ecosystem management and what the appropriate process would be and how we can really move forward and make some progress on it. At the same time as while we're still trying to do a lot of the other things that we do, and I think that they struggled with how long that might take, but I see this as an alternative to what's currently on there to the for management priorities on ecosystem management, and I actually think that it could potentially delay getting to ecosystem management instead of move us that way. So I think I'm going to stay with the proposed process that the executive committee came up with.
Any other comments? Go to the audience. Back to the committee. I mean the council. Call for the vote. All those in favor, so indicate. Five in favor. Opposed? Ten opposed. Abstention? So that's 5-10-1. 11. 5-11-1. Motion does not carry. Anything else on priorities? Paul.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I just want to clarify that when Tom talked about Framework 24 is a requirement under the priorities. So that'll go forward. But the committee needs and the council needs to discuss what exactly is going to be in that framework, direction to the committee. Because we've been late on different frameworks with specs, and it causes a huge problem with getting into closed areas and everything like that. So we want to make very sure that that list of items that goes into Framework 24 is doable within the time frame of the spec package. And that will be at the November Council meeting. I think we'll vote on what goes into that spec package. Is that right, Dee?
Well, as I read the list from the executive committee, the only thing in Framework 24 right now are the specs, nothing else. I'm not sure what people have in their mind about things that will come up along the way. I think the SCALC committee is trying to take very seriously not throwing a lot of things in these actions. The council and the agency just got a lot of heat for Framework 22 being late. Everyone's very aware of the problem, so I think it needs to be specific from the council exactly what you're talking about, maybe throwing in the framework or not in November. for today.
Thank you. Anything else on this? No. That's our last agenda item for today. So we'll adjourn the meeting. We will start tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. You won't get me.